A way which had once been barred to all men, it's now open to all men. All the barriers are down. All the chasms are bridged.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Apart from an understanding of what happened in Genesis, the third chapter, we have no way of understanding adequately and precisely human nature in our day and age. It's a tragedy beyond description. Man's relationship with God was severed in Genesis, the third chapter, as a result of the intrusion of sin. And the course of human history was permanently altered. That happened as humanity asserted itself against God's authority. It happened as man became autonomous. He assumed his autonomy, his right to decide for himself what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And the effect of that was that the entire human race was catapulted over the precipice of sin. And the microbes and infective agents and organisms of evil were injected into the very body of humanity. It all happened in Genesis, the third chapter. But what does it mean? I think we need an understanding of our fallenness before we can fully appreciate our forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand how far we've fallen, how devastating are the consequences and the results of sin, until we can fully appreciate the tremendous forgiveness and liberty that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to understand our fallenness that we might come to appreciate our forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, for a moment, we want to look in outline fashion, just an overview here, a review, so to speak, a summary. We want to look at the substance of both of these ingredients, the substance of the fall, four great separations that grew out of it, and the substance of our forgiveness achieved through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and three incredible wonders. Actually, there are four in the outline, but we won't have time to look at all of them. We'll look at three of them. Three incredible wonders that took place on the cross, repairing the severance, the separation, and the divisiveness that came into humanity's experience as a result of its sin. Do you see the outline? I want you to see first the fabric of creation has been fractured as a result of sin. That's the devastating consequence of sin. The fabric of creation has been fractured. Do you see how the fabric of creation is fractured? There's a fourfold separation. There's what I call a covenant warfare. We're at war with our God. That was the first great result, the first terrifying consequence of the fall of man, of the intrusion of sin into the experience of humanity. We're separated from God. God is separated from man, and man is separated from God. It's like we're covenant breakers, and we're separated from God as a result of it. There's a covenant warfare. It's theological. And there's a civil warfare. Not only are we separated from our God, we're separated from ourselves. There's an inward separation, an inward division. Man is separated from himself. That's personal. We'll look at five ways in which that works out. And then there's a cultural warfare. Man is separated from men. Not only are we separated from our God and from ourselves, but from our peers, those around us. There is hostility, and there is animosity, and there's warfare. Finally, there's what we would call cosmic warfare. We're at war with our world. We're at war with nature. Cosmos means world. We're at war with nature. Man is separated from nature, and this is environmental. I just want to give you this outline. I want you to see three incredible wonders that surrounded the cross in Matthew 27. I want you to be reminded for just a moment of the darkness around the cross, and then the forsakenness upon the cross, and finally the fruitfulness after the cross. One, the darkness around the cross. The Bible says from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour. There's a natural and a spiritual implication there. The natural implication is this. You know what that was? That was the revolt of nature to what fallen humanity was doing to its creator. But there was not only a natural, but a spiritual implication to that. It means this. The darkness stood for the absence of the Father. You see, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1 and verse 5. But for a moment, just for a moment, the face of the Father turned away from the face of the Son. It's an inscrutable mystery and an act of incredible and unconquerable love. For a moment, the face of the Father turned away from the face of the Son. And in that moment, when the Son was abandoned, in that moment, sin's penalty was paid, and inscrutable darkness surrounded the cross. There was darkness. But I want you to see, secondly, there was forsakenness. Do you notice verse 46? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, and what it meant was this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a question, by the way, that was asked more for our benefit than for his. It was designed to induce us to think, not him. To think and ask the why of Christ's suffering and grief. I think we need to think more of God's thoughts after him. Our thoughts are altogether too superficial. We don't think enough. They're too small. We think more about Pac-Man and pizza than we do about the things that matter in life. And so we're induced to think, why hast thou forsaken me? Here in verse 46 of Matthew 27 is the great separation. This is the ultimate. This is the last and the final and the ultimate separation. This is always the consequence of sin. There's always division. There's always separation. There's always hurt. There's always death as a result of sin. And Jesus endured it ultimately for us on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken is that word which means to be abandoned deep down on the inside. That's the very meaning of the word. Eg kata lepo. Lepo means to abandon or desert. Eg kata means down in. Jesus was abandoned or deserted down in the inner recesses of his nature. Jesus, the Son, was utterly abandoned by God the Father because that is the penalty for sin. It was G. Campbell Morgan who said it, and I've quoted him in the past. G. Campbell Morgan said, the beginning of sin is to forsake God. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. And Jesus loved you and me enough to endure that forsakenness for us. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. That's why Jesus was God forsaken. He was paying the penalty so that we need never pay it. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. And Jesus loved you and me enough to endure that forsakenness for us. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. That's why Jesus was God forsaken. He was paying the penalty so that we need never pay it. He says to us on that basis, I will never, ume, double negative, not, I will not, never, under any circumstances, leave thee, nor, again, a double negative, twice in the same sentence. I will not, I will not, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Same Greek word, Hebrews 13 in verse 5. It means this, God will never forsake his children. Because he forsook his own son in behalf of his children. God will never forsake you and me because he forsook Jesus for you and me on the cross. That was the act of incredible and unconquerable love. Do you notice the fruitfulness after or following the cross? That's in verse 50 to 54. We have to skip over that other section there. But in verses 50 to 54, three things happen. This is the fruitfulness. Something tremendous happened as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Number one, heaven was opened. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent. It was torn in twain, in two, from the top to the bottom, verse 51. Heaven was opened. What does it mean? The veil in the temple was torn. That was the veil which covered the Holy of Holies. That was the veil beyond which no man could penetrate except the high priest, and he only once a year on the Day of Atonement, and never without blood. That was the veil behind which the glory of God dwelt, the visible manifestation of God, and that was the veil which had stood for more than a millennium as a symbol for the division and the separation between man and God. It separated man from God. That veil was torn in two. It means this. It means that the death of Jesus Christ is the way back into the presence of God, the way back into the presence of the tree of life. A way which had once been barred to all men. It's now open to all men. All the barriers are down. All the chasms are bridged. The moral basis of our separation from God, namely sin, has been dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. The life and the death of Jesus removed forever the veil which had hidden God from man. Heaven was opened. We can be brought back into the presence of God despite our fallenness. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There are all these ugly separations, but Jesus endured the last great separation for you and me. Heaven was open, graves were open, verses 52 and 53. Heaven was open and graves were open. You know, it means that the work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, his willingness to be God forsaken, has conquered death. And we have the first fruits of it right here following his death on the cross, a partial, powerful, visible, and undeniable demonstration of that which lies ahead for every true believer in the Son of God. That's what Paul meant when he said that Jesus Christ abolished death. He means, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he means that he rendered it impotent by emptying it of its penal power. For the Christian, Paul says, death is like a scorpion whose sting has been removed. It's like a serpent whose venom has already been expelled. So far from separating us from God, there are no more separations for the Christians. So far from separating us from God, it brings us into the very presence of God. That's what death does. The penal aspect is removed. Graves were opened. Death is conquered. The death of Jesus was the death of death for God's people. Finally, hearts were opened. Truly, this was the Son of God, verse 54. They watched him die, and they came to a conclusion. Truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus had said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John 12, 32. And in so saying, he was foretelling the magnetic power of the cross. And the Roman centurion is the first fruit of that magnetic power. The cross had moved him to see the majesty of Jesus as nothing else had been able to do. You know, we need to look at the cross. We look back to the third chapter of Genesis, and there's discouragement and there's disappointment, but there's not despair. There's hope through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So here are four great separations and three incredible wonders. The fabric of creation is fractured. The universe is at war. It's all around us due to sin. Covenant warfare, we're at war with our God. Civil warfare, we're at war with ourselves. Cultural warfare, we're at war with our peers. And cosmic warfare, we're at war with our environment. Even the environment is hostile. But to resolve that, the founder of creation has been forsaken. Matthew 27, 45 to 54. There was darkness around the cross. There was forsakenness upon the cross. But there was fruitfulness after the cross. Jesus Christ became God forsaken so that we need never again be forsaken by God. As you stand before the cross, we see it in Matthew the 27th chapter, hurriedly. Are your eyes open to see Jesus Christ dying for you in your place as your substitute? Do you see him like that? Dying for you in your place as your substitute? Do you see the cross as a bridge back to God? That's precisely what it is. Then there remains one thing for you to do. Your eyes may be open to see him. Is your heart open to receive him? Your eyes may be open to see him. Is your heart open to receive him as your Lord and Savior? If not, nothing but devastating hostility and warfare, an ultimate and permanent banishment from the presence of God in hell. But if your heart will open to receive him, you're brought back into a relationship of peace with God. And the blessing of the Lord will become yours. Christians too stand before the cross and they see something. They see a demonstration of unimaginable love for them. We cannot compute what Jesus Christ endured for us, but we have to ask ourselves this: what am I prepared to endure for him? I'm a Christian. What am I prepared to endure for him? Christian, are you willing to pay the price of identifying with Jesus Christ in a hostile environment? To stand alone, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to cleanse your life of the evil from which he died to set you free? Are there evil things in our lives that ought not to be there this morning as Christians? Are we willing to lay before him those areas of our lives which hitherto we have reserved for ourselves, inviting now his scrutiny and submitting to his superintendence? It seems to me that's the least that we can do in view of all that he's done for us.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Adam may have been discouraged. He certainly was. He may have been even devastated by the consequences of his sin, but he was not in despair.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.